Okay, this is Digital Dave,
and joining us is Tom Sutliff
from NASA. NASA.
Ooh. Ready?
Yeah.
NASA, good.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. NASA's great. NASA's been great forever, and NASA's going to be great in the future here, too. So.
Well, you guys are riding high right now, and that's good.
For sure.
That's
for
good. Sure. Now, you talked about Dragonfly, which I got from your assistant. Mm-hmm. Is a helicopter designed to fly on the Titan moon of Saturn?
That's correct. Dragonfly is a drone, an octocopter, eight-bladed, rotored aircraft that will descend and land on Titan. It launches in 2028.
Okay.
And it'll take a few years to get there, but when it gets there, it'll descend through the thick atmosphere of Titan and under its own power, under its own control, land in the central desert regions of Titan. Then it'll start its mission for a three-year mission on and above the surface of Titan, exploring, doing some science.
Now, you guys flew the helicopter on Mars.
Yes.
That made like several hundred flights, didn't it?
It made a lot of flights. The helicopter was actually a technology demonstrator helicopter for Mars. They expected maybe, I forget the number, 5 or 10 flights.
Right.
But there's always a chance that it'll outlive its original design life.
Well, pretty much everything you guys build does.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Titan's got to have a lot less gravity and a thicker atmosphere. I think that'd make it even easier to fly.
Yes. So the drone that we're taking, Dragonfly, is about the size of a car. It's about 1,000 kilos. It's about a ton, right?
Man.
So one really needs that thick atmosphere, and one really needs the 1/7 gravity,
right?
That's there. So it's designing for the environment and taking advantage of the environment to do the exploration and the science.
Well, you know, one of the things about drones or octocopter in this case is you've always got to recharge the batteries.
Yes.
How are you guys going to do that?
Well, that's a good question. So on the ground, one would normally plug it into a recharger, right? And a recharger, you'd plug it into the wall outlet, right? Well, Titan's a little bit far away to do that from Earth, and
yeah.
Titan doesn't have recharging stations.
One hell of a cord.
Yeah. So we bring our power system with us. It's a nuclear power system. It's specifically a radioisotope.
Oh, RTG.
System.
Yeah.
It's an RTG. It's the multi-mission radioisotope thermoelectric generator. It generates about 110 watts electric.
Okay.
And it doesn't directly drive the motors for the blades, nor does it directly drive the science instruments or the communication system, but it recharges the batteries. So we bring our charger with us, basically.
Okay, so it stays on board.
It doesn't
get dropped on the ground, and then you plug back in.
No, it's actually, if you get a chance to come to the NASA booth on site here, mm-hmm. you can see a model of it, and then you can do some augmented reality viewing of a full size and walk up and into the model virtually and see the size of this thing. But the MMRTG power system hangs off the upper back end and stays with the drone during flight. So that's part of the weight, if you will, the mass of the drone.
You're saying it generates 110 watts?
Yes, about the size, about the energy of takes to run one of these old incandescent light bulbs.
Right.
Right.
So what I'm figuring is if this thing weighs 2,000 pounds, even in 1/6 gravity, that's a respectable amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be pulling a lot more power than that during flight.
Yes, yes. For this, I have to check my notes because I'll tell the power in but not the power draw. It takes about 200 hours to recharge its batteries. Its batteries are, where is my battery spec?
It's
147 amp hours batteries.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're a lot larger than the typical drone or remote control aircraft batteries.
Now, in years, eons past, they use nickel cadmium.
Right.
Can you use lithium in that environment? The
yes.
temperature swings are so great.
One advantage of carrying the MMRTG is it gives off waste heat. That waste heat becomes useful heat in the design of the thermal system that keeps the entire spacecraft, the avionics, the batteries in particular, warm during the 97 degree Kelvin. That's actually minus 290 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow, that's temperatures. Down in the liquid oxygen range.
Yeah, the atmosphere there is nitrogen, but Titan rains not where we will be in the desert region, but it rains liquid methane.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So in the polar regions, there's actually clouds and a methane cycle like we have.
Like a water cycle.
A water
right.
cycle, right.
Oh, my goodness. So good thing nobody has matches.
So the whole thing is climate controlled.
Yes,
now, are you, it has to be.
Are you using lithium ion batteries?
Yes.
Or okay, because I was going to say, the one thing you don't want to have is a battery fire out in space.
The LiFePO batteries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the batteries, along with all the other systems, are currently going through integration and testing phase at the Applied Physics Lab. They're the primary spacecraft developer and design house for the Dragonfly system.
Probably the only
system.
People that have a temperature chamber that can go cold enough.
They actually had to design and build a temperature chamber large enough to test the components they needed to test.
Wow.
To the levels they needed
now,
to get down to.
This machine, Dragonfly, is going to essentially be autonomous. You'll send it instructions
yes.
on where to go and what to do, and then it will figure out how to do that.
Yes, and I will defer to later in the week. The principal investigator, Elizabeth Zibby Turtle, is going to be on site, and she can delve more into the science and the science rhythm. But largely, the system can only do one job at a time because of the power system availability and the battery charge discharge cycle. It takes about 200 hours, I think I mentioned that already, to actually recharge the batteries. But a Titan day is 16 Earth days. So one can operate during the Earth days and actually do the flight, and then they land, and then they will recharge the batteries. Then they will do the science operations on the surface for that particular location. They will recharge the batteries because they might have done some sample acquisition off the surface and done some other measurements and collected the data. And then they will raise the communication antenna and do the direct-to-Earth communication of that data, recharge the batteries, and prepare for the next flight during the next Titan day and repeat.
What is the communication delay?
The communication delay, it's... The signal time is not on my sheet. I don't have that one with me.
Well, Mars is what, 12 minutes?
Yeah, so it's about close to an hour or so, if I remember correctly. Off
so
the top
it's
of
four
my
times
head.
Further than
yeah.
Mars, roughly.
Yes, yeah. So
it's hard to conceive of these distances.
It's 10 astronomical units away. So Earth is one astronomical unit away from the Sun.
Oh, okay.
Titan and Saturn is 10 astronomical units away.
Wow.
Okay, so it takes sunlight 8 minutes to reach from the Sun to here.
Great.
So multiply that by 10,
so that's
80
about
minutes.
80, so a little
almost
over an hour.
Almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, a little over an hour and a half, yeah. And that's again, that depends because Earth and Titan, Earth and Saturn are going to be 9 to 8 astronomical units away or 9 to 10, depending on whether we're on the same side or opposite side of the Sun, right? Yeah.
Wow.
It's just orbital mechanics.
Just think about that where it goes blah, 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 and you go, what? And then you got to wait for that to get back out there.
and the exciting part is this is a 3-year mission, and it's going to traverse over 100 miles of distance.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Big is it? So Titan's got to be about roughly the same size as the Moon?
A little bit smaller than the Moon because it's a little bit less gravity than the 1/6 lunar gravity.
Right. So 100 miles is a fair amount
of
distance.
It's the largest moon of Saturn.
Okay.
And
why?
It has an atmosphere, which makes it unusual as well.
And that's why you're interested in it.
That's why you went to
Titan.
And
that's why we're capable of flying on it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you'd be capable of flying on Saturn, except I don't know if it would survive the landing.
Right. Upper atmosphere, maybe, but then it gets hot and high pressure, and it's a different environment unto itself.
Yep. Yeah. Always.
I've been reading about various climates that you find on the planets, and there are some places that are really hostile towards equipment. Mm-hmm. How long has Dragonfly going to live?
So the mission design life, and again, we talked about the Ingenuity rover or Ingenuity copters lasting longer than their mission design life. Mission design life is 3 years. The science team and the engineering team believe they will be able to extend that mission given the opportunity to extend the mission and do more science over further distances.
Yeah, I guess that once they have some real-world data on how well it's functioning.
Right.
So
I was going to say, NASA's doing really good with the Voyager project right now.
Again, a radioisotope-powered system.
Yep.
going near its 50-year lifetime, almost a day to do one-way comm for that.
Yeah. Here's a question that from experience, I know that you've dealt with this before. The general public doesn't like nuclear payloads being shot off on rockets in case rockets don't lift off.
Right.
So did you have to take that into account when you designed this thing to make it, launch safe?
The systems we use have been developed and matured over 60 years now. 1961 was the first launch. And we've developed a methodology where it's safe built in from the inside, safe built from the outside, so it can withstand, we call them insults.
It is insulting.
And we've standardized on a heat source design, and we work with the Department of Energy with them providing the fuel and the heat source design to withstand those severe environments.
Cool. Very cool. Can't wait to see this thing fly.
I can't wait to see it either. It's going to be very cool.
Very cool. You've got eight motors, so you can obviously lose one or two here and there.
Yes,
and still fly.
There's engine out capacity. Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. It's going to send back pictures, selfies?
It does have cameras on board, yes.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
And the technology...
All for scientific purposes, though.
Yes, yes. The technology is becoming smaller, lighter, more reliable, so that's given you the ability to get a lot more in there. Anyway,
on
that note, yes.
Yeah.
This is Digital Dave, and we've been talking with...
Tom Sutliff.
Of NASA. And go check out the website for more information.
Yep.
This is EAA Radio.